Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.
You can take your seat. Great. Hey, band doing great today, aren't they? Give the band a round of applause. Doing good. Watch out, watch out. Good. So, yes, it was my birthday yesterday. Got a card today from Jono and Nick, who are doing with kids. Card today, wishing you a fantastic birthday. 40. I'm not 40. 39. And there is a massive, humongous, incredible difference. I got a lot of life to experience before I'm 40. And I'm not going to wish away the next year. So, good. So that's a good start. And let's get a baby Emmaus there. Right there. When you have a baby, do they always say at the beginning of it, baby Emmaus? It's baby Johnny, baby Billy. We know it's a baby. We can see it's a baby. And May is here. She's looking okay. Looking good, looking sleepy, but happy. Good. Good. So, me and Lisa have been here. We've been here 10 weeks. 10 weeks or so. It might be 10 and a half. 10 weeks. And in 10 weeks' time, I think you, because we started right. We're 10 weeks ago. I'm like, well, maybe we kind of put this out there early, right? Maybe we're too early saying, we're going to be in September. We will be in the Epstein Theater. We're moving out of here, moving into the heart of the city. Now I'm like, oh, I don't know. Maybe we said it too early, right? Because I was just like, Epstein Theater. So we need, I think, because we get summery and holiday, and I think we just got to restoke the fires of faith and excitement right now. Because in 10 weeks' time, right, so if you thought, oh, Damon and Lisa have not been here that long, have they? 10 weeks ago, 10 more, that same time frame again. We will not be standing in here. We will not be here in this area of Liverpool. We will have moved right into the center of Liverpool. We will be in the Epstein Theater, and a new era will have begun for us. What you've been praying for, what you've been believing for. I love that. My name is David, if you haven't read up there, and married to Lisa, if you've already seen. And I love that we've stepped into this journey with you. You know, because many of you guys have been on the journey of faith in Liverpool for a lot longer than I have. We've been on this journey 10 weeks, right? But I love that we get to step in. I love that we get to join in with what God has already begun with you and what you've already been believing God for. I love that we've walked right into this new era of going to the Epstein Theater. I love that by the grace of God, and I think, well, it is the grace of God, that we've been able to come in here and it's not been like, right now we need to find a building and we need to think about what are we going to do because we know we've got to come out of here and we know this is what we've been thinking about and dreaming about and praying about. I love that we've just been able to step in, and by the grace of God, the Epstein Theater has opened up before us, and we were able to make that announcement right at the beginning. I just think that's incredible. And I think, well, gosh, how did we get to this? How do we get to this point where we're this incredible opportunity? Let me tell you, it is an incredible opportunity that has opened up before us. And it's something that, you know, you might be there a few weeks and then you start to feel like, well, we've been here forever. But this is an incredible opening that God, by his grace, has brought to us. I think, well, how have we done it? How have we got here? You know, maybe it's because God looks down and goes, you guys, you're the best church in Liverpool. Therefore, you've prayed very well. You really have. You've worked very, very hard, and you've shown that you are incredibly spiritual, and 95% of you are quite holy. And so therefore, I am going to open up this doorway of opportunity. And I think, isn't that incredible? How did I get to come and step in on this journey? How did I come to get the leadership of Liverpool? I think, maybe Jesus looked down and he's thinking, Dave, your leadership skills are very good. I'm impressed. Therefore, I'm going to give you Liverpool. I don't think that Scripture really allows us to spend very long patting ourselves on the back. You might say, I'm doing pretty well. I don't think Scripture allows us very, very much patting. Very much patting on the back and saying, well, gosh, I've done this. It says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. This is the Apostle Paul talking. He says, whatever I am now, whatever we are, Hope City Liverpool, whatever we are in the next phase of things, whatever we achieve, whatever I am, whatever my ministry amounts to, whatever your life amounts to, whatever you are now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me. That's his grace. And not without results. When God pours out grace, it is not without results. Isn't that awesome? When God pours out grace, it doesn't come to nothing. God is a God who wants to pour it out. Pour out grace. Paul prays so many times. He says, I pray that grace would be multiplied towards you. Grace would be multiplied. And when God multiplies grace, it is not without effect. Paul says this. Half a sentence of patting himself on the back. For I've worked harder than any of the other apostles. Pat, pat. Little pat, pat. We've prayed longer. We've believed really hard. I've worked really hard. He says, yet it was not I, but God who is working through me by his grace. I said, I've worked harder than everyone else, but it's the grace of God working through me. Whatever we have, whatever we do, whatever we might think, I can pat myself on the back. Or maybe you think, I got no patting. Maybe you think in your life, no patting. There's been no patting. You need to tap into the grace of God for your life. Because God has much grace for you. And much grace produces something. It is not without effect. God wants to work through your life in an incredible way. God wants to work through us together in this next era of church life. I'm believing this is a season, not just a season, right? But we like the word season, so it's good. So a season of God's grace for us. I want this next season of our lives, the next season of your life, to be a season of grace. A season where you're not thinking, can I pat myself on the back or not? Have I done all right or not? Am I doing okay or not? But that you say, you know what? The grace of God. I'm tapping into the grace of God. I'm tapping into the special favor of God. Because then my life will have effect. Then when we head into the center of Liverpool, it is not going to be without effect. This is not, well, we've got a theater, so therefore we're going to hit. No, we've got the grace of God, and therefore it is going to have great, great effect. Great effect in our life. I love this. This is a phrase from Pastor Dave Gilpin, but he says that you're the custodian of unusual circumstances, the unusual circumstances of grace. Whatever it is in front of you, whatever opportunities you have, whatever you comes across your life, it's the opportunity of grace. It's not about what you've worked up, what you've earned. God is always full of grace towards you, always has a new opportunity, always has a new season, always has new strength for you, always has grace available for you, but it's always unmerited and it's always kind of undeserved. I think we don't deserve. We've not got to the point where we go, I deserve it. I've heard people say, when they've got some blessings come off in their life, you know, they've had some blessings come and they go, well, I think we deserve it. And I'm like, well, I don't want to go, no, you don't, you know. I don't just come in and like, no, you don't. But we don't deserve it. We don't earn it. But God gives it by his grace. Everything I've got, everything in my life, Paul's God, whatever I am, anything. If I can preach half good today, it's the grace of God working through me. It's not because I'm like, I am a good preacher. I can put together some great notes now. God, then that's a recipe for disaster. I've got to recognize this is always going to be the grace of God. It's always going to be God. I've got to rely upon what you do in and through me. If we're going to work hard in the next season, it's not going to be, well, we're going to really wear ourselves out for the kingdom of God. It's, I'm going to be strengthened by God. Whatever we do, I'm going to work hard, but it's not going to be me. It's going to be the grace of God working through me. Some of us are tired and we need to go, we need to re-tap into the grace of God. Sometimes it's good to have a physical rest. But there's the rest that comes from drawing by faith upon the grace of God. It's time for us to make known the God of great grace and the awesome life he opens up for the people of Liverpool. If opportunities are grace given, then there's more God wants to open up for you. If it's grace given, I can guarantee God wants to open up more things for you. If your gifting is grace given, then I'm sure there's more God wants to develop in you. If strength is grace given, then I believe you can overcome and you can achieve more in the days ahead than you have so far because it's grace given. It's not like I've come to the end. You come to the end of yourself. Maybe you have. It's a good place to be. And of yourself come to the start of God and all that he can do and achieve through you. If it's grace given, there's strength available. It means you think, oh, I'm worn out, I can't go on, I can't do it. No. Strength is grace given. It's grace for you today. Incredible. Some people say, look, it's when preparation meets opportunity. Have you heard that phrase? When preparation meets opportunity, that's look. But here, what I say is that true destiny is when faith meets grace given opportunity. Today we need faith to meet the grace given opportunity that's in front of us. So we step forward into our future. We step forward towards the Epstein Theater. We're not waiting and seeing what happens. We're saying, I'm by faith, I'm going to take hold of the grace given opportunity that's in front of me. I'm going to take hold of it by faith. I'm going to believe God's going to do something absolutely phenomenal. I got a parable for you today, a parable from the Bible, from Matthew chapter 20, which is going to help us really take hold of the grace-given opportunities that God has for us in the next season of our lives. Because you want to step into what God's got for you, don't you? Don't you? I don't think about it. See how I feel by the end of the service. This is a parable that Jesus told, and it's in Matthew chapter 20, and I'll read it, and then I shall make some points for you, okay? Here's what Jesus said from verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them out to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, why haven't you been working today? They replied, because no one hired us. The landowner told them, then go out and join the others in my vineyard. That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them. Beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. That's good. That's good, isn't it? You like that? You like that job, right? When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more. But they too were paid a day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner. Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you've paid them just as much as you paid us who worked all day in the scorching heat. He answered one of them, Friend, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? So those who are last now will be first then, and those who are first will be last. Here is the word of the Lord. But I think faith puts you in the marketplace of God's grace-given opportunities. Faith puts you in the marketplace of God's grace-given opportunities. I was looking at it, it comes at different times of the day, and I don't know what time you think it is in your life. What time is it in your life? Is it early in the morning? Is it 9 o'clock? Is it noon? 3 p.m.? 5 p.m.? Last hour? Where are we at in our lives? Maybe it's early in the morning. Early in the morning, you're a young adult. Feels like early. The day of your life stretches far in the future. It's a long day. It's a long day ahead. There's a long day. I've got lots of time to get stuff done. I want to say to you, you know, you've got to take hold of the grace of God now, right? Don't wait till 12, you know. Don't wait till later in the day. Take hold of the grace. Take hold of the grace of God now that God is making available for you. Take hold of the opportunities of God's grace. It's the 9 a.m. I don't know if these line up completely, but anyway, I'll go with it. It's the 9 a.m., because early morning's young adults, right? 9 a.m. of your 30s. So that's kind of still quite good. It's 9 o'clock, you're 9 a.m. of your 30s. I'm still that kind of, still there. The midday of your 40s. I don't know if I want to think about that too hard. Midday of your 40s. Some people say now, middle age starts at like 55. You know, it's like a mindset. Now, people who say today, people who are 55 start to think they're middle-aged. But then when you still do the math, people that expect life expectancy is still in the 80s. So it's probably still when you're in your 40s. It kind of still is middle-aged, but you kind of go, oh, no, it's not. Someone said the other day, 50 is the new 30. I'm like, 40 was the new 30 like 6 months ago. Now 50 is the new 30. I know we're pushing it. But anyway, maybe it's the 3 p.m. of your 50s. You're like, oh, it's 3 p.m. Dave, shut up. Move on with the message. You know, it's a 3 p.m. of your 50s. You're wishing it was still lunchtime, you know, because there's still so much to get done. And the 5 p.m. of your 5 p.m. of your late 60s onwards. Let's do that. And you think, what have I done with my day? You know, what have I done with my day? And is there time? Maybe I could clock off early. You know, maybe that's wherever you're at. Whatever our life stage is right now, our faith in his unmerited and undeserved favor is going to hook us up with new opportunities. Doesn't matter what hour of the day you think it is. Doesn't matter what stage of life you think it is. I love that they all got the same pay, full day's wage at the end of the day. There is still time. There is unmerited and undeserved favor to hook you up with new opportunities to find fulfillment, purpose, and a reason to get up in the morning. A reason to get up in the morning and head into your day with passion and expectation. I think, how many times do you hit the snooze button? Right? Directly correlates to how excited you are about the day. The more snooze buttons, the less expectation, the more you need to tap into the grace of God again. It's like, no! Why did you set it for that hour if you didn't want to get up then? I just, so true. So here's a few things, right, from that parable. Is that all right? First thing, right, for tapping into the grace-given opportunities for you, is this, that faith gets you ready for your opportunity. Faith gets you ready for your opportunity. In verse 3 there of chapter 20, it says at 9 a.m., he was passing through the marketplace, and he found some people standing around doing nothing. And you might go, oh, we're doing nothing. They were just standing around doing nothing. I realize this. They were doing nothing. but they weren't idle. They were doing nothing, but they weren't idle. There was expectation. They were out early. They got up and they were out early because they were thinking an opportunity. They were ready for an opportunity. Faith gets you ready. Faith puts you in the marketplace. Faith is expectation. God, you are going to do something with my life. You are going to do something fresh. You're going to do something new. There are new opportunities. These guys, they were standing around, but they were not idle. Faith was active. Faith is an expectation that something is about to happen. I want to ask you today, are you waiting for something to happen? You know? I think it's all happened or nothing's going to happen. Are you expecting something to happen through your life? Are you expecting to connect with somebody new? Are you expecting God to answer those prayers? Are you expecting something to happen in Liverpool? Are you expecting something as we go forward into the next season of our lives? Are you expecting something is going to happen? There is something, God, that you are going to do. Faith puts you in the marketplace for an opportunity. Faith in his unmerited and his undeserved favor says, even if I seem to be going nowhere and I don't know what's going to happen next, his favor is on me for brand new opportunities. We don't want to put faith in our plans and in just what we see. We put our faith in the God of grace to guide our lives. I love that. You can't earn favor. You can't earn grace. You can't earn the next phase, the next season, the next opportunity. You can't do it. But I've decided I'm putting myself in the marketplace. I am putting myself in the marketplace for an opportunity in front of me. I'm putting myself there with an expectation, God. I might not have seen everything I want to see. I might not have seen things happen how I want them to happen. I might not have stepped into an incredible revival and growth. But whatever I'm going through, whatever I've seen, God, today by faith, I am putting myself in the marketplace. God, for your grace to bring around my life a brand new opportunity, a new opening, a new doorway for me to step into. Amen. I love this. Psalm 37, verse 5 to 7 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. He'll make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways and wait when they carry out their wicked schemes. Be still before the Lord, wait patiently for him. Wow. Waiting patiently is for those who have an expectation that God's going to do something. You don't wait without expectation. Waiting is active. God, I'm expecting something to change. I'm expecting something to open up. I had times, you may be in it right now, right, where nothing seems to be happening. Nothing seems to be going on. And as I look at my life and my walk with God, I realize there's been times where it looks like nothing's happening. Nothing. In fact, sometimes it looks like it's going backwards. It's not going forwards and it's not Stephen standing still. It seems to be going backwards. And sometimes we find ourselves in those places. When I came into church leadership, I'd be in a situation that just seemed to be going nowhere. Nothing seemed to be happening. And I couldn't see how things were going to change. And maybe as you look at some things around your life, you think, I can't see how things are going to change. I can't see how it's going to happen. And yet as I go, I scoot down the line to here and I go, well, that period of my life still happened. I was standing there and I was like, God, I cannot see how things are going to change. I can't see how an opportunity is going to come my way. I can't see how you're going to get me out of this situation into a better situation. I can't see how it could ever turn around. And yet I'm standing here today and I'm going, hey guys, I'm in Liverpool and we're going to the Epstein Theater and God's doing great things and we're overseeing like the Northwest and we're seeing God do things and change things. I'm like, gosh, hang on a minute. Even when it seems like nothing is happening, I'm keeping myself in the marketplace. God, it looks like nothing's happening, but by faith, I'm going to believe your grace is going to open something up because there will always be another day of the story. there will always be another chapter. There will always be the day you look back and go, I realized it was, it's like 8 years, right, ago that I first came across Pastor Dave Gilpin, 8 years ago, in a conference. And I was in the middle of all this stuff that seemed to be going nowhere and seemed like it could never change. And I was just talking to someone the other day and thinking, gosh, imagine if I knew then, as I was listening to Pastor Dave Gilpin preach for the first time in my life, right? Imagine if I knew then what was going to happen in the next 8 years. But I didn't have a clue. All I could do was have faith in the grace of God that kept me. I am in the marketplace, God, for an opportunity. You're going to come past. You're coming through. It might be 9 o'clock. I'm waiting. I'm expecting. You're going to come through, and I'm going to take the opportunity that you put in front of me. Because here's the second thing, right? That the grace keeps coming back for you. Grace keeps coming back for you. Halfway through verse 5 and into verse 6, it says, at noon and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. And at 5 o'clock, he was in town again and saw more people standing around. This guy was in, he was in town a lot. He just, I'm just going to go back. I've got somewhere. I'm going to see who else is there. The grace of God keeps coming back around for you. God, it's coming back. So I say, is there anybody else? Grace is coming round again. Your opportunity has not passed. Your time has not passed. Your era has not passed. It's not, well, back in my day. This is still your day. If you're still alive, it's still your day. And the grace of God is ready to come back around your life. You know, the grace of God is not just a second or a third chance. It's a fourth, it's a fifth. He keeps coming back around. Everyone got the same wage at the end of the day. Everybody. I realize that's the grace of God. So it's not too late for you to fulfill everything that God's got for you. My Bible says he restores the years the locusts have eaten. I'm like, God, how do you do it? How do you do that? How do you take us? How do you accelerate things? How? I don't know. But all I know that that's what he does. At the end of the day, whether it's 5 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whatever time you join in with the grace of God, whatever time, he says, I'm going to give you a full day's wage. I'm going to fulfill everything that I got planned for you. Grace of God comes back around for you. Romans 5:20 says, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. I'll read that again. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. The more you don't deserve it, the more you're a candidate for it. I don't deserve the grace. I don't deserve an opportunity. I don't deserve a doorway. I don't deserve something to happen. I don't deserve a fruitful life. I don't deserve things to turn around. The more you don't deserve it, the more you're a candidate for it. It's why it's called grace. It's why it's the undeserved, unmerited favor of God. I love that you can't sin yourself beyond the grace of God. I've known people who like just literally think they're so bad that they've been so bad. And I know what they've done and it was pretty bad, right? And they think they're so bad that the grace of God that would never be good enough. They wouldn't maybe say the grace of God is not good enough. But the way they speak and the way they act is if God could never, ever do it. You can't break the sinometer. You know, God's going, sin, that's sin. You've sinned that much. That's a spring. Oh, you've broke my sinometer. I'm out of grace, mate, for you. You can't out-sin the grace of God. You can't fail so badly that you go beyond his ability to make this life season successful. I've failed so bad. I've messed up so bad. I've done so bad. I am so bad. I feel so bad. You can't take yourself beyond the grace of God. Some of you maybe need to hear that today, because it's never going to be about how well you've done. What God does in your life is never going to be about how well you've done. It will always, always be how well Jesus Christ has done. It will always be down to what God has done. The favor of God that Christ has earned and deserved becomes yours because you'll put your faith in the grace that comes through him. Jesus Christ took all your sin, all your shame, all your failures, all your failings upon himself on the cross and paid for them. So that as you put your faith in him, you access the favor of God that's upon Christ's life. It's never going to be about how well you've done. It's about putting faith in Jesus Christ and how well he has done on your behalf. Maybe it feels like 5 o'clock for you because you've messed up time. And again, you think, God, I had my 9 o'clock, I had my 12 o'clock, I've had my 3 o'clock. It's like 5 o'clock. This is, even someone young can feel like I've stuffed up so much that it feels like I'm right at the end of things. Maybe it feels like you've just missed the opportunities of 9 o'clock and of midday, and it's too late for God to do anything with your life. How will I ever find another job? How will I ever get married? How will I step into the things that God has for me? Let me tell you, grace comes back round. Grace is coming round for you today. Here's another thing. Grace overrides our excuses and our history. Grace overrides our excuses and our history. Matthew 20, verses 67. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw some more people standing around. He asked them, "Why haven't you been working today?" They replied, "Because no one hired us." The landowner told them, "Go and join the others in my vineyard." My first question would have been, where were you at 9 o'clock? You know, why? Because he came around, right? And he said, everybody who was hanging around, everybody who was there, he said, "Everybody get to my vineyard." And he comes back later on, more people standing around. He said, "Why aren't you working?" He says, "Because no one's hired us." And I'm like, well, where were you hiding? Where were you? I came back and hired every single person. And yet you go, "Nobody hired me." "What time did you get here?" "Nobody hired me." The grace of God overrides our excuse. Because he just goes to them, "Right, get in the van to the vineyard, right? Come on." I don't know if you had a van. Probably not. But what are our excuses, right? What are our excuses in life? I think, you know what? Well, I just didn't have the opportunities of everybody else, so... You know, God's not going to do that much. I didn't have. Nobody's recognized my gifting, my talents. No one's recognized me. That's why. It's why I'm not stepped into the things God's got for me. It's why I'm not right there already. It's why I'm not in the vineyard. So I'm here because no one's recognized what's going on with me. I was hurt before, And so therefore I'm not there, I'm not in the vineyard, I can't work, I can't do it. I'm like, the grace of God overrides every excuse, right, that we might make, and also our history and everything that would hold us back from what God has for us. The grace of God is available for you to get you out of just hanging around, out of waiting around, out of thinking, well, no one's hired me, no one's using me, nothing's happening, nobody wants me. Takes you out of that and brings you, he says, "Come on, come into my vineyard. Come on, I got some work for you to do. I got a part for you to play. It doesn't matter what you say about yourself or what others say about you or what's happened to you. Come with me. Come with me. I got some work for you to do, some things for you to accomplish. And the entirety of the things that I've planned for you shall come to pass." I love the grace of God. I've had some opportunities to pack up and go home. I don't know how many church leaders ever feel like this. I think maybe I'm the only church leader who's ever thought, "Do you know what? I'm not doing this anymore." It's probably just me. I know, it's big confession time, right? Big confession. Probably anyone said, I don't think I can cope. I don't think I can do this. Because all of the church leaders are like, "Oh, this is wonderful." You know, skip into the office on a Monday, skip to church, you know, skip into a pastoral meeting, skip out of a pastoral meeting. Oh, everything's going beautifully. You know, I know it's a big confession, but there has been times, you know, where I've thought, you know, I could step out of this, right? I could step out of this. I've had reason, you know. And maybe you've had reason to pack up, to give up, to quit, right? And sometimes we have reasons that might sound okay. Because even in some of the situations that I've been in, I could have said, I could quit. And you go, oh, yeah, oh, maybe I'd quit that. You know, maybe I'd get out of that. But I found this, that God's grace is, you know, far beyond all my weakness. Here's something, it says 2 Corinthians 12:8-10. It says, Paul's talking, he says, three times, we'll get keys up or guitar up. There's nobody playing keys, so we'll have a guitar up and we'll get ready to pray. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, this thing, this situation, this stuff. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, about my reasons why I can't go on, about the reasons why it's tough, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. Have you ever, how much time a week do you spend doing that? Oh, it's delighting in my weaknesses. I am a complete failure in this area. Oh, what's this wonderful? I've completely put my foot in my mouth again. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's why I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I love the grace of God overrides everything. You say, I can't, I'm hurt, I'm rubbish, I'm a failure, it's not gone well before. It overrides everything. He says, I'm going to boast about it. Because it's an opportunity for the grace of God. I'm going to boast about my weakness. I've failed so many times in that area. I've failed. It's an opportunity to recognize the need for the grace of God in my life. Paul said, I said three times, God, take it away. Take away this thing that's getting to me. Whatever it was, people have different opinions, right? Whatever it, take it away, God. Ow, ow, don't like it. Because my grace is sufficient for you. Take it away. No. He didn't say, I'll take it away. Oh, I'm rubbish. Father God, will you take it away in Jesus' name? No. Oh, ow, 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 ow. Grace of God. Ow, grace of God. Ow, grace of God. Ow, grace of God. Ow, grace of God. The grace of God is sufficient for all the stuff. All your weakness. Delight in insults. Some of you feel like you've been insulted. In church, you've been offended. Ow, ow, take them away, take them away, take me away. No, my grace is sufficient for you. Boast about your weakness. I can't deal with that. I find it really hard to cope with this person. I find it kind of hard to cope with these situations. Well, stop being, let that limit you and realize that the grace of God is available for that part of your life, and that area of your life. I delight in difficulties. Some of us don't. It doesn't mean, you know, I've got no money, hooray. You know, got no job, woo. Life's falling apart for a body. It's how we focus ourselves. It's how we turn it around. Say, God, this is an opportunity for your grace. and we, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. The sums don't add up. I don't know how I'm going to, I don't know if I can cope with this. I can't cope. I'm not able to cope. I'm not able to go forward. I'm not able to become everything. God, I want to be so much more than I am, and I'm yet, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Thank you, God, I can't do it. Thank you, God, there is a gap in the sums. Thank you, God, there is a gap in my ability. Thank you, God, I can't see the way forward, because when I'm weak, then I am strong. Because I find my strength from you and not from myself. From you and not that I've figured it all out. I find it from you and not from my own history or my own bank account or my own, self-sufficiency. God, thank you that I have some area of weakness in my life, because there I will find the strength of God, and that's what's going to make a difference to my world and the world of people around me. You need the grace of God today, don't you? You need it. We need it. We're weak, right? Anyone weak here? Some guys, you're quite strong. Quite strong. Been to the gym. Feeling strong. I think you need to delight in your weakness. So I think you need to say, thank you, God, I haven't got it all together. Thank you, God, that I am not as emotionally stable as I like to present to people around me. Some of you think, oh, God, if everybody knew. Oh, everybody knew. Maybe sometimes it would be better if more people knew that more of us were a little bit weaker than we present. It's all right. You want to present a life of faith. Life that's based on real faith in God. Not I'm building it up, I'm putting on a show. We're going to the theater. Let's put on a show. We got it all together at Hope City Church. No. Write that down. It's a good song. It's a song. It's a song. Maybe we need to let some little bit of the veil down, a little bit of the shields down, a little bit, just say, you know what, guys, let's be honest with each other. We have not got it all together, have we? We have not got this all worked out. We have not, the sums don't all add up in many ways in our lives. What a great opportunity for the grace of God to show how strong that we can be in Him, how He can turn things around. Incredibly, how when we're falling apart, he can come in and do something incredible in our lives that pulls us together. Not me pull myself together, but God, you pull the pieces of who I am together to create who you want me to be. Come on, why don't we just stand? Why don't we close our eyes? Just lift your hands to God right now, because you and me both need today, before we go from here, to allow God to multiply grace towards you. I love that. I sometimes wonder, well, grace is grace, isn't it? So grace is grace. And I'm like, why multiply it? Why do we need more of it? If you've got grace, you've got grace. And I think it's just a great way of thinking, The grace will be multiplied. There is more grace for you. Some of you think you've come to a limit, come to an end. You've seen God do what He's going to do. But there's more grace. Wherever you are right now, whatever you need right now, I think you, wherever you're weak, I want to say you can boast in your weakness. Why don't you thank God? Why don't you thank God right now that you got some air, you haven't got it all sewn up. Thank God right now that you can be honest before Him and acknowledge your weakness, acknowledge the shortfall, because there is a shortfall in all of our lives. And we need to thank God. God, I have not pulled it all together. I am not a self-made man. I don't have to present like I'm a self-made man. I don't have to present like I've got it all together. I'm going to rely upon the grace of God. Just lower your hands right now. And I want you to lift your hand. If you just recognize, say, I need to recognize that the grace of God is what I need. The grace of God is where I find my sufficiency. The grace of God is where I find my strength. If you today say, God, yeah, Dave, yes, Lord, I need your grace. I recognize that maybe I've been striving. Maybe I've been thinking I can work it out. Maybe I've been wondering, no, I can't work it out. I don't know how I'm going to work it out. God, I don't even know that you're going to work it out. You recognize that I need the grace of God. You might be someone who thinks, I think maybe God's passed me by. I don't know how I fit into what's going to happen next in Hope City Church, because maybe it's all young people and I don't know where my life phase fits in. Maybe you just recognize, I need the grace of God. Maybe you think, gosh, I think I'm so bad that I'm beyond the grace of God, and you're hearing that you're not beyond the grace of God, and you're saying, pour out the grace of God in my life, God. Turn me around and turn my life around. If that's you today, if you're saying, I need the grace of God, why don't you lift your hands right now just to receive. Just thank God. Just pray, God, multiply grace towards me. Thank you that your grace is sufficient. Thank you I can boast about my weakness. Thank you I can rejoice that there are some things that are hard, because in my hardship I'm going to find that you come through. God, that you are going to give me strength, that you are going to give me answers, God. Father, I thank you, God, that I am not the center of everything. You are God, and you've got it worked out. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe there's one or two people here today who you've never known what the grace of God is. Maybe you've heard about God before, and you heard about Jesus, and you're just saying, well, I've got to earn something, you know? This Christianity thing, this Jesus thing, I've got to change my life. I've got to stop doing this, stop doing that, change everything. And then God will be happy. But it's kind of the opposite. It's like that you respond to the love and the grace of God that says, all your stuff, you ain't going to change nothing, my friend. You might have a bit of a self-help, self-improvement plan. You might get slightly better, but you'll never deal with the heart. You never fully change. That's why Jesus Christ died for you, took everything that you couldn't change, everything that was wrong, everything that you're ashamed of, maybe not even ashamed of, but took upon himself, paid the price so that the grace of God could come into your life. So even though you're weak, God will make you strong in him. Lead you into a new life, a new purpose. We're going to pray right now, and there's an opportunity for you to say yes to Jesus Christ. Maybe the first time you have ever done that, and it's maybe you've walked in the grace of God, you've known him, you've walked with him, and today you're saying, you know what, Dave, I've actually walked quite far away from the grace of God, and I'm coming back to the grace of God today. And so we're going to pray a short prayer, a simple prayer, but it can connect you with God, connect you with destiny, connect you with the grace of God for your life. I'll pray, and then everyone will pray after me. And if it's you today, this could be a real incredible moment for you. We believe in the days ahead, we're going to see many, many people come to know Jesus Christ for the first time. This is a sowing into that spirit right now. Are you ready to pray? Pray after me. Father God, I thank you for Jesus Christ, that even though I couldn't change myself, I couldn't make myself holy, I couldn't make myself righteous, that Jesus took upon himself all my sin, all my unrighteousness, all my failings, all my failures, and that he died for me, and that he rose again so that I could live a new life, knowing him, following in his ways, living in a real relationship, and drawing on the incredible grace of God. Forgive me for going my own way. I choose to go your way. In Jesus' name. if that's a prayer that's for the first time, or it's kind of a, I've prayed something like that a while back, but I need to pray it again. If that's you today, why don't you just lift your hand so I can see while other eyes are close, a hand down here. Is there anybody else? This is the first time where you're coming back to the grace of God. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this hand. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that this guy would really understand the grace of God for his life, that it's all grace, it's all mercy, it's all love. And Father, we pray, come on, let's lift our hands together now. Let's pray for the future of our lives as Hope City Church, that it would be a life of grace, that the next phase is not because we've worked hard in ourselves, not because we've got a theater, but the grace of God would really be active in this congregation. Father, we pray right now, God, and we thank you for the grace of God, that limitless, boundless grace of God, Lord God, that comes back around for our lives to take us forward into what you have for us. Lord, and the grace of God that is coming around for the people of Liverpool in a new way through us and through our lives, Lord God. Lord, we thank you that there are many people, they may have known you in the past, Lord God. They're going to come and know you fully again, Lord God, because the grace of God is coming back around, Father. And for those that have been waiting, Lord God, those that have been hoping for something different in their lives, wondering what is life about, Father, I thank you that the grace of God is coming, Lord God, to this city like never before, Lord God. Lord, through our lives, Lord, to the people around us, to the people in our world, to the people of Liverpool like never before. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Give God some praise. Come on. The grace of God is incredible. It is awesome. It is great.
Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.